Now, as many of you have noticed, I have some coffee brewing. It looks kind of thin. I don't drink coffee normally, so I would not suggest that anybody try to drink it. And many of us in the morning, what's the first thing we do? We get up and we stumble out to the kitchen half asleep, put the coffee pot on, and begin to make coffee. And we get excited about that coffee. We start to smell it. I can smell it a little bit here. And we say, oh man, I can't wait for that coffee to get ready. I'm gonna drink that coffee. You know, and the energy it's gonna give me, I just can't wait. We anticipate it, don't we? We get excited about the arrival of that fresh brewed pot of coffee. But what do? We stand around and watch the pot all day, waiting for it to finish brewing? No, we have to get ready for that pot of coffee. We have to get a coffee cup out. We've got to get sugar and cream. And if it's me, I like a lot of sugar. It's the only way I'll drink it. We got to get a spoon out to stir it. Now, if you're a real man's man like my father, he likes the coffee black, strong, you know, straight up. Puts hair on your chest. And then, of course, you got to have the coffee cake when you have the coffee, or at least I do. So you got to prepare. If you don't prepare, what happens? That pot of coffee gets done, and then what are you going to do? Just drink it straight from the pot? I don't think so. If I tried that, I'd end up burning myself. So you have to do some preparation. You can't just stand around and watch it brew. And Paul is calling the Church of Rome in our scripture today. He's talking to the Church of Rome, and he's saying it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. Because the church has fallen back into their old ways. They've gotten sloppy. They've fallen back into the licentiousness, the sexual immorality, just all kinds of things. Coveting, adultery, even can you believe this in a church? Even jealousy in a church? And we don't see that today, do we? Or quarreling in a church? Can you imagine arguing in a church? Thank goodness we don't see that today, right? But they had fallen all back in, you know, back into their old habits and had gotten sloppy about what they needed to be doing. Yet they were anticipating the return of Christ. And they were excited about it. And they talked about it a lot. Well, when Christ returns, you know, it's going to be so beautiful and so wonderful when Christ returns. Yet they weren't really doing anything to prepare for that. They were just sitting around, waiting on Christ's return and being themselves. And so they probably looked at Paul when he started talking about this and said, well, how do we prepare? How do we prepare for the return of Christ? And he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, for us today, Paul is calling us to wake up and smell the coffee. Sure, we talk about, you know, we can talk about Christ coming and anticipate that probably more so now than ever with the events of 9/11. I know a lot of people right after that happened were talking about, well, gee, that must be the wake up call. We must gotta, you know, that's God telling us we've got to get our act together, you know. And then when we read about the events in the Middle East, you know, and we go to work or go wherever, we hear people talking about that and saying, you know, all this bad that's going on over in the Middle East, you know, how much more is God going to put up with before he decides to put an end to it? You know, it's got to be getting close. So we talk about it quite a lot, as a matter of fact. But the problem is that's all we do. We talk about it, but at the same time, we've fallen kind of back on our old ways. We've kind of gotten sloppy and things. We say, well, you know, we're going to church and we're putting a little money in the offering plate. And that's all great and fine. But Paul says, what are you doing to prepare for Christ's return? What are you doing to prepare for that great anticipation? You know, and so Paul, he's just trying to get us to prepare. And you may say, well, now, Pastor, now how do we prepare for that? What exactly do you mean? Where are you going with this? Well, let's take a look at 1 Peter, and I'll read it, and then you can look at it later if you'd like. But 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Well, that kind of echoes, that part kind of echoes what Paul is saying about love one another. You see, we make mistakes and we've been lax and we haven't done the things maybe we should do, but if we begin to at least love one another, that means whether they're friend or foe, love one another with our whole hearts. That's going to start to cover up that those multitude of sins that we've committed. And then it goes on to say, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Well, I had to snicker when I saw that one because that's I could be in trouble for that one. How many times have we had somebody come by the house or call us on the phone and say, hey, I just need to talk to you for a few minutes, or can I borrow a wrench, or, you know, can you take a look at my car or whatever, you know, and you say, sure, sure. And when you go to the other room or the other part of the house to get what they need, you go, golly, I wish they didn't come over today. The football game was just getting ready to start and now they're over here and I never can get rid of them. And golly, you know, grumble, 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 grumble. We all do it. I've done it. And Peter says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. We all have gifts from God, or talents from God, depending on how you want to call them. And we've talked about that a little bit in here before. And we all know that. We know we've been given a gift or a special talent or a grace to do something. And God doesn't give us those gifts to sit on, to put in our hip pocket and sit on it. He calls us to take those gifts out and to use them for the glory of his kingdom. It's those gifts that he's given us that we're supposed to use to prepare others for Christ's return. And then it finally says, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. That's the key. In order to prepare for Christ's return, we've got to be ready to be faithful and to administer God's grace faithfully wherever he calls us to administer it. We've not only got to prepare ourselves and be in a state of preparation ourselves, we've got to go out those doors to those folks that should be here with us this morning and aren't and help prepare them for Christ's return. That's part of our call as Christians. That's what Paul is saying. He said the church is getting kind of sloppy. They're getting, and I'm not talking about just Bethel Church here. I'm talking about the church overall. Let me just back up and say that real quick. You know, the church overall, if we look at the church as a whole, with all the things going on that we see nationally and districtly and statewide and whatever, the church as a whole is not meeting its full potential. And so Paul is calling us back through the scripture in Romans to begin to turn that around. To talk about the return of Christ, to be excited about the return of Christ. You know, to keep people talking about it, but also to begin to prepare. Now, I read an article in the paper last week about a lady that was preparing for the end times or another horrible event if the country was taken over, you know. She was preparing for that time. The way she was preparing was she was stocking a cabinet that she had bought full of canned foods and dry foods and a cook stove, a camp stove, and water and different things like that. And that's all fine and well. But none of that is going to prepare us for the return of Christ. And in some ways, if she's preparing for the end times, she's kind of preparing in the wrong way. Because folks, I'm here to tell you, when the end times come, I hope to go with Christ during rapture. I don't want to, you know, before rapture, I don't want to hang around here with all the trouble. I want to be up there at the heavenly banquet, having a party. So rather than stocking canned goods and dry goods and things like that and water and so forth, we need to be stocking up on our faith. We need to be stocking up on calling people here to Christ and doing what God has called us to do. We need to get out of our old habits of coveting and adultery and drunkenness and all those things and quarreling and jealousy and debt. and debt. Now there's one that Paul brought up, and when I looked at that, I said, whoa, that's a hard one to do these days. You know, Paul didn't have MasterCard and Visa in his days, and Discovery Card, Diners Club, and all those. But what Paul is talking about there is excessive debt. Debt that you get yourselves into that you know going into it, you do not have the means to pay it back. Or it's going to take you so long and keep you so pinned up that you won't be able to do what God's calling you to do. And we've all been there. And you say, well, Pastor, how can we have no debt? Well, there is good debt, or there is adequate debt. You know, we're all going to have car payments. We're all going to have a house payment or rent, mortgage, whatever. Those things we have to have. That's the way the world works. But Paul is talking about being excessively in debt, having so much debt that you can't hardly move. And the church still believes in this today. We don't preach it from the pulpit like I'm doing today too much, because a lot of pastors are struggling with that too. But the church does believe in this and stress this. And in fact, with pastors, when we go before the conference board to be ordained or licensed, one of the many questions they ask us is, do you have debt that is such that it would be an embarrassment to you or to the conference in church? And if you do, you then have to write out a plan as to how you're going to pay that debt off and stick to it and pay it off. They require us to do that. So debt is important. But Paul also says there is a debt that you need to be in every day of your life, and that is the debt of loving your neighbor as yourself. It says it right there in the beginning of our scripture today. The debt of loving your neighbor as yourself. That, he says, is a debt that we need to have for the rest of our lives. So we need to wake up, smell the coffee, get our act together, start preparing. It's a great and exciting thing. We don't know when Christ is going to return. Paul doesn't know. I don't know. But what we do know is today we are one more day closer to that return than we were yesterday. And we're certainly a lot more closer to his return than when we first became believers or were first baptized. Amen? So we need to prepare. We need to get our act together. We need to prepare not only ourselves, but the others. Christ is returning. Be excited about it. Anticipate it. And prepare. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we just pray that you will help us to begin to prepare and to do your work and to prepare others for the return of your Son. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in church and to be prepared and to get prepared. And Lord, we just ask forgiveness for those times when we fall short and get sloppy in what we need to do. Lord, we just pray that you'll wake us up. That you'll wake us up. Help us to smell the coffee. To see that your Son is on the horizon. And to prepare for his return. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.